good to see you all here tonight on a dark Wednesday, I guess.
Yeah.
I had forgot to mention a prayer request, so we're going to have to pray. Daylene was one of our staff members at the Women's Life House, Daylene. So right now she has bone cancer and some other type of cancer, and she's in chemo right now. And so she's in conversation with me, sent me a couple texts today about how that's going. So kind of getting scared there, talking about some other things about end of life, those kind of things. So I told her we pray for her, so I didn't mention that. So we need to pray for her so I don't forget, and I keep my word that I pray that we pray for her tonight. Father, we lift up Daylene to you, Lord, where she's at right now, Lord. It's just a hard place to be, and Lord, we know that it can be lonely at times, Lord, especially when we're ill and we're sick, and especially with diagnosis such as bone cancer. And we just want to lift her up to you tonight. We just pray, Father, your spirit would be upon her and breathe upon her, Lord, and just put your arms around her. Lord, she wants to be healed through it. So we pray, Father, that you just work your healing power through that, draw her to yourself in whatever ways that would be in your will. But we lift her up to you today, Lord, that there would be healing for her, this chemo would work. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So if you know her, whatever, just give her a reach out to her if you would. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel tonight in chapter 8 tonight. I'm going to give you a little thing tonight. If I did title this, I do title them, but be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And sometimes what we get is not what we need. So what we want is not always what we need. And sometimes we don't want what we need. We want what we want. And we will sacrifice the good thing to get the thing that we think will work. I mean, y'all thought you got into something you thought was going to be real good. And it wasn't. You got in a relationship because you thought that relationship was going to be great because it looked real bright. It looked all these things. You saw the warning signs, but you ignored them because he looked real good. You saw the warning signs because she looked good. You saw the warning signs because of what they drove. You ignored the warning lights because you wanted what you wanted. Well, we're not the first ones to be like that. That's why we're going way back in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel. People wanted something. We're going to look here. Verse 1. When Samuel grew old, so Samuel is the priest. He's the main leader. He's the main spiritual leader of God's people here. It says, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges over Israel. Let me just warn you right here. Let me be careful that just because they're family, especially in church, you don't put them in leadership just because they're family. That's why I'm cautious sometimes. He says his firstborn's name was Joel and the second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. However, his sons did not walk in his ways. Now, we don't know if they started off good. I hope maybe they started off good. We don't know that. But we know where they are right now. It says they did not walk in Samuel's way. It says they turned toward dishonest gain. I mean, they cheated people. They took bribes and they perverted justice. Now, that's a sinking ship right there when you have leaders that act like that. So sometimes when something is not something bad is happening, we want to make a quick decision and quick choices that are not always good for us. So, who is watching all this? Well, we see that in verse 4. So all the elders of Israel, that means those people that people looked up to. These are the people that were usually older, that had experience, had some experience in life. They were the wise ones. And it says here, so all the elders of Israel gathered together and went to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not follow your example. Therefore, appoint a king to judge us the same as all the other nations, all the other nations have. Here we see the elders knew what these sons were doing, what Samuel's sons are doing. There's no arguing that. But I do want to tell you to be very careful when you assemble leaders to meet with a leader about the leader. Let me say that again. Be careful when leaders assemble themselves and go to a leader about a leader. I'm going to tell you why. They wanted something. We want a king. That's what we want. We want a boss. We want a king to rule. We want a king like everybody else has. It's kind of like the kid that says, Mom, Dad, I don't have a car. All my friends have a car, but I want a car. Give me a car. The elders came in. They came in together. Be careful. I'm not saying it's wrong not to do certain things in that, but elders do. But be careful that it doesn't become a mob. That's what this is. This has become a mob. I've seen it in churches where groups of leaders who get together, and I've seen that in a couple other churches, and I do this number. I do this number. I step away from that because nothing good is usually going to come out of that. Did you hear what they said? And I know it's kind of comical, but he says, look, they said this, look, you're old. That's what they did. Be careful, young people, not to call other people old. They're older than you. Because what they did was they put that into perspective. What they were trying to do is say, you can't do anything. You're done. Move over. Get out of the way. Your sons aren't following your example. You guys are a mess now. We're done with you. Give us a king. Your last thing, won't you just give us a king? So here we go. When they said, give us a king to judge us, Samuel considered their demand sinful. But look what he does. So he prayed to the Lord. We do not see the elders praying at all. And I'm going to tell you they didn't, because I'm going to show you that they didn't. But Samuel did. Samuel is, he goes to the Lord and begins to pray about this. He seeks God as a good spiritual leader should. Right out the gate, the pressure is on. And he considered their demand to be sinful. Because there's something that he knows, they should know, but they don't know because their eyes are focused on what they want. When you put your eyes on what you want, you'll lose perspective of what really is going on. You may see some of it, but you'll lose it because your eyes, you're on that carriage. You want that peace. They want a king. They want a king. I want my king. Oh, it's going to come at a cost. I guarantee you that. We're going to talk about that. What you want always comes at a cost, and it's always more than what you really wanted to pay. But Samuel goes, and he goes, and he begins to pray to the Lord, but the Lord told him. Now, this is what I know. When you pray to the Lord, and you are genuine with your heart, when you talk to the Lord, he's going to talk to you back. He does it through his Holy Spirit. But we don't wait all the time. We don't wait. We're not patient. So we just assume whatever's in our mind that that's what the Holy Spirit's telling us. That's what we do. He says, but the Lord told him, listen to the people and everything they say to you. What? And then this is what the Lord says. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me as their king. God already knew what was in their hearts. Let's see a little bit more. They are doing the same thing to you as they have done to me. Since the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, abandoning me and worshiping other gods. Listen to them, but you must solemnly warn them and tell them about the rights of the king who will rule over them. So what we see here is he says, they are doing the same thing that the previous generations did that they've done to me. God is saying this. There's a place and a time that you may have read about, but I was there. They rebelled against me. They always see it. They just keep falling away. They keep worshiping. They keep walking away from me. They've been doing it ever since he drew them out of Egypt. But he says, I want you to listen to them. You must, Solomon, you must warn them. Now, there's a warning. Warning is an opportunity to change your mind. I'm going to give you a warning about that. Oh, what? There's an opportunity for you to change your mind, to change your direction. And somebody gives you a warning, it's an opportunity. You pay attention. Listen. Because it's an opportunity to change your direction to where you're getting ready to go. Because that warning is saying, where you're getting ready to go, it's not good. He says, I want you to tell them all about the king's rights. Because kings have rights in the world. They just have rights in that time. They have rights. I'm getting ready to go down the list. Samuel told all the people, all the Lord's words to the people who are asking for a king. And he said, these are the rights of the king who will rule over you. This is the warning. He will take your sons and put them into use in his chariots, on his horses, and run in front of chariots. He can appoint them for his use as commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, to plow his ground or reap his harvest or make his weapons of war or the equipment of his chariots. What he's saying, this, he'll take your sons, the king's rights is to take your sons for military, for work or service or whatever, labor, whatever he wants. So it's going to cost me my sons. King's rights are not done. He can take your daughters to become perfumers, cooks, and equipment. He can take your daughters to become perfumers, cooks, and bakers. What he's saying is he can take all your daughters. He can take all your daughters and make them go into labor service. You're going to serve the king. And he moves on. He says, he can take your best fields, your vineyards and olive orchards, and give them to his servants. It means he can take your land. He can take your land. He can take your fields. He can take a tenth of your grain and your vineyards and give them to his officials and servants. Basically, he can take a tenth of what you make. He's going to dig in your pocket. And his... He also says he can take your male servants, your female servants, and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. He can take everything you've got. He can take a tenth of your flocks. And then he begins to say, and you yourselves can become his servants. Not just everything you got, but you yourself. There's your warning. And he finishes that up with this. If you go past this line and you take it, this is what he says. When that day comes, you will cry out because the king you've chosen for yourselves, but the Lord won't answer you on that day. Now, when you go knocking back to God and say, Lord, I messed up, you're not going to listen. Because you got what you wanted. We got what we wanted. That is a heavy cost to get what you want. You know, people today do the same thing, though. Because we are so lustful. When we look at what we want, we think that that way is the best. We think that job is going to be the perfect job. We think that person is going to be the perfect person. We think that that avenue, that door, if we can get it to open and we can pry it open, we can burn that door down. As long as we get through that door, it's going to be the best days of my life. And we're going to find out, and you find out yourself that it's not. If I can just get another drink, if I can just get another fix. Going to fix it. No, it doesn't. It costs you every single time. When you go to a loved one and they shut the door and they say, don't come back. You got what you wanted. The cost is always high. It's always higher than what we really think it's going to cost us. The choices that we make cost us family and cost us love from family. There are some family members that will walk away. They don't have as much forgiveness as God does. They'll walk away. The Israelites are at this point where they're fixated. They are fixated on this wanting a king. They just heard the warning signs. They just heard what it was going to cost. And the Lord says, when that day comes and you choose it, and you change your mind, you want me to listen, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. This is one of the few times when God says he's not going to listen. God is fed up with it. Let me tell you, sometimes God gets fed up with us. As much as we want to talk about his love and his mercy and his kindness, and it's there, believe me, it is. His compassion is amazing. But sometimes God gets fed up with us. He gets fed up with us. And then he says, sometimes and he says, go for it then, do it. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. What do they say? Verse 19. The people refused to listen to Samuel. How many times have you talked to your kids and told them not to do something, and they did? They absolutely did the opposite. And the more you warned them, the more that they were impelled to do it. They were going to do it. Well, you know, as much as our kids have done that, we do that to God our Father, as we are His children. We refuse to listen to the Lord too. Isn't there some scriptures that we just kind of skim over because we don't really like those? Because how they really put pressure on us and how we live? And some of the choices that we're trying to make? The people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we must have a king over us. We want a king. They didn't hear. Those warning signs were nothing. Because here's what it is. I got my family. We're good. As long as they don't pick my family and my kids, I'm good. Well, the king comes by and he starts taking a lot of people. And the cost is always more than what you want to pay. So the people said, we must have a king. We have to have a king. Been in the church where I've seen people say, we have to have a pastor who has a doctorate. He has to have a doctor's degree. So be careful what you get, what you're asking for. You're not even looking at the person. You're looking at something. You're looking at the thing that someone carries. You're not looking at the heart of a person. You're not looking at the history. You don't want to look at any resumes except for those pastors who had a doctor's, an 8-year degree. Be careful what you ask for. Church has never been able to get back to where it was before. And when you demand it, and you ignore the warning signs, you better be able to handle the consequences. We must have a king over us. Then will we be like all the other nations. Our king will judge us. Go out before us and fight our battles. Oh my goodness. We're thankful that in the future there are some kings that says, wait a minute, we need to get the Lord back in this. But right now, these people, you see, I see some mistakes here. I see some major ones. This came from the elders. That tells me where the elders were spiritually. They were a mess. I also see down here when they begin to say that we need to be like all the other nations. We want to be like them. Be who God wants you to be. not what the world wants you to be. It says our king will judge us. Did you hear what God, did you hear what the Lord says? They have not rejected you. They have rejected me as their king. So they want to take God out, move him over here, and they want a man in the place to be pretty much God, to be king, to be God. So that he can go out and fight our battles before us. Did we just not read that the cost of it will be your sons will go into battle? So the king will go, who do you think is going to go out and fight with the king? Because most kings are not going to go out and fight. They're going to be in the rear with the gear. They're going to watch. And they're going to put their soldiers out there. And they're going to fight. Where do you think those soldiers are coming from? It's coming from these elders' families, the boys, the young men that they have. But sin will blind you. All they can see is, we need a king. 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 We must have a king to rule over us. Then we'll be like all the other nations. And our king will judge us, or our king will judge us, go out before us and fight our battles. Samuel listened to all the people's words and he repeated them to the Lord. That had to have been hard. Basically, what it is, Samuel's in the gap listening to the elders. He's already got some sons that are a big, big, big mess. So his family's his boys are messy. They're just a mess. But also, we see the elders they're coming at him. And he knows that there's some sin involved with this. And he goes to God, and God's telling him, listen, you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, and I want you to give them the warning signs. He gives them the warning signs and tell them and remind them, give them the big warning that when this happens, when they call out to me, I'm not going to listen. I'm not coming to the rescue. And here it is. He goes and he gives them the warning sign, and they didn't want to listen. So now he's got to go back, and he's going to talk to the Lord about this. And he'd repeat all of this. Listen, let me tell you, sometimes when you're praying to the Lord, sometimes it feels very, very lonely. Whatever it may be, it's in your life. Sometimes praying can be very lonely because it's you and the Lord, and you're sometimes wanting to know why people don't see it the way you see it or whatever. Just stick with the Lord and you're going to be fine. It's when you drift from Him, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And let me remind you of this. The crowd is not always right. The majority is not always right. And when we read a lot of times in the Bible, we find the majority is many times mostly wrong because they just band together. And people love to band together over hard and bad things for some reason. They just do. But Samuel listened to all the people's words and then he repeated them to the Lord. Listen to them. The Lord said to Samuel, appoint a king for them. Give them what they want. Give them what they want. Then Samuel told the men of Israel, each one of you go back to your city. Go home now. They're all going home excited because there's going to be a king. And when they look for this king, God, there's a man they call out to be a king. God works with this and that, but he ends up hiding. He ends up hiding because he's scared. And God says, I know exactly where he is. Go get him. He's right over here in this bale of hay. He's over here in this area. And everybody sees him and goes like this. Oh, he's so awesome. It's just a couple chapters. He's going to fail big time because he takes his eyes off of God and wants to do it his way. And then God works with says, "I need a." God picks a young boy who's a shepherd after his own heart. But you notice what God doesn't do? God never takes the king thing away for a long time. And eventually there is a king that is the king of all kings. And that is Jesus Christ. You see, You can have kings in the world. They wanted a king, but there was really only, there's only one true king. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who sits on an everlasting throne, who rules with justice, love, and mercy and compassion. But when we want to buck God's system, and we want to buck God's way, it's going to cost us. They're going to lose a couple, they're going to lose a big battle coming up here. They're going to lose a battle coming up here. Because somebody wants to leave God out. Because what did it say? You get what you ask for. He'll go out before us and he'll fight our battles. Let me tell you something about fighting battles. If you want to fight your battles without God, you're going to lose. I know so many people right now that are struggling, can't get their life right because they're trying to do it their way. They're trying to get what they want out of it. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's never worked. When you let God be a part of it, God will move things that you can't move. But first of all, you got to move out of the way. And you got to let God in. And when you let God in, God can do, God will do things. He'll do the things you can't do. He'll move things that you've been trying to move for years. He can soften hearts that you never thought would be softened. He can break an addiction that you've been trying to work on for 20 years. But he's got to be a part of it. But if you keep trying to do it your way and you go in a little bit and you come out a little bit, you go in a little bit, you go out a little bit, what you're doing is you're fooling yourself. Because you're not fooling God. God sees it. You step in a little bit, step back in. You step out a little bit, you step back in. You're playing a game. It's a mind game. You're playing the game yourself. Because you haven't fully given it to God. You can't give your right hand to God and keep your left hand. You can't give just God a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and keep yourself Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for yourself. You can't do it. God is an all-in God. How do I know that? Because he was all in for our salvation by giving his son. He was all in and gave. He gave his son. So fighting battles. That's what we do here on earth. We fight battles every day. We fight financial battles. We fight health battles. We fight relationship battles. We fight with the marriage battles and family battles and trying to raise children battles. We fight even in some places, we'll fight in the religious battles, political battles, addiction battles. Addiction goes into a lot of things. You can't win one of those without Christ. You'd be fighting for the rest of your life. But I'd rather fight with Jesus on my side than try to fight all these things myself. I cannot win without Christ. And I promise you, you can't either, because if you could, you wouldn't be where you're at. You wouldn't still be fighting those things. Let it go. Let some things go. Let it go. If somebody did you harm, you got to sometimes come to a place and you just got to say, Lord, I'm letting it go. It's that's consuming me. It's taking my life becomes what I don't like. Is my focus. That's what they were doing. We want this. No. You want the victory, you got to let it go. You have to let some things go so you can go on and go forward. Let go and let God do what he needs to do. But these people said, we want a king. And God said, they not rejected you, Samuel. They rejected me. They rejected me. Sometimes people won't take the warnings. Sometimes they won't take your advice. I have it down, when desire overshadows warning, we get into trouble. And this is when people think they're smarter than they are. I say it all the time. I'm not as smart as I think I am. And I promise you this, you're not that smart either. When it comes to God, we're pretty dumb. So why not ask the maker of all things and say, I don't know about this thing called life. You created me. I want to do it your way now. Because without you, I just fall apart. So as I said from the beginning, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And when you do, you're going to reap the consequences of it. But I will tell you this. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Because he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and forgive us of all of our iniquities. Even if we go in and we mess it up and we do that, I'm telling you, we can still call upon the Lord and he will listen. But he doesn't always take the consequences away. It'll be a reminder to you. Sometimes it's a reminder to you that this is what happens when you turn away from me. Not me, but him. God is a loving God, but he's also will chastise, which means he will not just put you in the corner. Sometimes he will discipline you. And God's discipline is when he gives it, he gives it. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. So how do you fix it? Whatever you're asking for, ask God to be part of it. Not to jump on your bandwagon and say, Lord, I want you to be a part of this. But Lord, is this something that I need to be a part of? Lord, is this something that I need to purchase? It'll put me in debt. Lord, is this a direction that I need to go? Lord, is this the person that I need to marry? Do you want me to marry this person? Lord, do you want me to go out and start this business and leave my job? Or do you want me to go into ministry and leave my good paying job? You just don't make those rash decisions because that's what I want to do. You involve the Lord with it. Remember, the elders just came with a big complaint. Big mob. Busted out Samuel and his family. Just all negative. But Samuel went and said, and Samuel prayed to the Lord. Two different ways you can do it. Just run and do it, or you can go to the Lord and pray about it. Even when you pray about it, it doesn't always turn out the way you think or want, but listen, that is a part of being a Christian. Learning to be obedient and be a patient. Father, as we get ready to close, I pray, Father, that our hearts were open tonight to understand that we make decisions every day. Every day. And so many of them we do not allow you to be a part of. Some of them are really big decisions. And then we end up messing up. And we have consequences we have to pay for. We do thank you for the forgiveness of sin. But we do pray that you would help us through this. To let us understand that we need to ask you to be a part of it. And not just make rash decisions out of our own desires. I pray, Father, in these next few moments that your spirit will move. As you see fit. In Christ's name, amen.